If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn in it to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 19, Luke chapter 19, beginning in the first verse, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you pray with me. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the way that you faithfully speak to us through it. And we ask in this moment that you would open up our hearts to you, that you would open up our ears to hear your voice. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And we pray that as we look at this part of Jesus' ministry, that we would not just learn new facts about this story or about who you are, but God, we invite you to work in us a transformation so that we are different, so that more and more we are like Jesus, so that more and more his life is evident in who we are and in how we live. And we ask this, God, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So, what was your favorite tree to climb when you were growing up? Apple tree. Okay. Particular apple tree out in the front yard or just any apple tree? Out in the backyard. Okay. Anybody else have a favorite tree that you like to climb? Okay. Where was that?
In the meadow.
Okay.
Winds were breaking off.
Okay. Anyone else?
My grandparents had a really big maple tree.
Okay. Anybody else? Your favorite tree to climb? Sycamore trees are good if you're short because the limbs start low down to the ground and you can get up in the sycamore tree that way. So Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem and he comes into Jericho. He's passing through town. Now Jericho is kind of a regional center for tax collecting. It's a little bit like Washington, D.C., or when you go to pay your taxes and there's that list of cities on the back that you can mail your tax return to based on where you live. So maybe Philadelphia or Dallas or Kansas City or someplace like that. There are all these regional centers for tax collecting in Palestine in this part of the Roman Empire. And so Zacchaeus lives in Jericho, and that's kind of a regional center there. Now, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, and we talked a little bit last week about tax collectors and why they were hated by the people and why they kind of the role that they occupied in the Roman Empire. But just to remind you, these are not tax collectors like we think of IRS agents. When we think of IRS agents, we may say, well, you know, I don't like IRS agents because I don't like paying taxes, or it always hurts me when I have to write that check out or something like that. But IRS agents today are just, you know, part of the government. They're not working on commission or anything like that. But tax collectors in Jesus' time, they received a license from the Roman Empire so that they could collect taxes. And the way that they made a profit, the way that they were able to make money off of this, is they would overcharge the people. And so they would say you owed 30 units of money, 30 pieces of silver. They would charge you 50 and they would keep the other 20. And that was their profit. And so they became very wealthy. They became very affluent. But they did it not by working hard, but by cheating, by defrauding the people. And so they were universally hated. And so Zacchaeus, we know these two, we know several things about him. We know that he's a chief tax collector and that he's very wealthy. And Jesus comes into his town, and it says in the text that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And we know that by this time in the Gospel of Luke, we've read in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus has developed a reputation as being someone whom sinners gravitated toward. These people who were kind of the dregs of society, these people who were outcasts, these people who were not good observant Jews, who were not faithful, who were not religious, who were not spiritual. These were people who were living outside of God's purpose for their lives, outside of God's will for their lives, and they were condemned by a lot of the people. And the reason for this is a lot of the people thought, well, if folks, and this was particularly the view of the Pharisees, if people would just behave, then our society would be free from the domination of the Romans. God, if people would just obey God, then God would deliver us from the Romans. God would come along and remove this yoke of Roman oppression from us, and we could live the way that God wants us to. And so that was their goal. That was why the Pharisees were so insistent on having people obey the law and live according to God's word. Is they said, well, if we do that, then God's going to reward us. God's going to fix the situation that we're in. God's going to take away this yoke of Roman oppression. And sometimes we think that too, don't we? We think that if we live right, then everything's going to work out for us. If we do what we know God wants us to do, then God is going to bless us. And there's not always that sort of one-to-one kind of equivalency between doing what God wants us to do and being blessed and being rewarded. It's not that kind of world that we live in often. We would like it to be. We would like it to be a simple world where if you do what is right, then everything turns out okay. But we know that some of the people whom we know who suffer the most, who have pain in their lives, who have agony in their lives, who suffer disappointment, those are the ones who oftentimes are the most faithful to God, who put the most effort into being the kind of people that God wants them to be and living the kind of life that God wants them to live. And so there's not that kind of strict equivalency that we wish that there would be. But Zacchaeus is one of these hated sinners, and he's one of these people that folks just wish that he wasn't around. They wish that he wasn't a part of their community. But he wanted to see Jesus. And he wanted to see Jesus because the word had gotten to Zacchaeus that Jesus was different, that Jesus welcomed sinners. In chapter 15, it talks about there at the beginning of those parables that Jesus welcomed sinners and he ate with them. And so this has been Jesus' reputation that's been established, not just that he welcomes these people that nobody else welcomes, but that he eats with them. Now, in our culture, we'll eat just about with anybody. It's not a big deal to us. We're not particularly selective or careful about that. But in Jesus' time, in the world in which Jesus lived, if you ate with someone, that was establishing a sort of moral parity between you and that person. You were saying, this person is my social and my moral and my spiritual equal. And so I'm going to enter into a significant relationship with them by sitting down to eat with them. And so for the word to get out that Jesus didn't just welcome sinners, but he ate with them was an incredibly radical thing. It was something that people were completely surprised by, that here's this Jewish rabbi who goes around and he doesn't spend his time condemning sinners. Instead, he spends his time welcoming them and inviting them into fellowship with himself and establishing relationship with himself. And that's the reputation of Jesus that Zacchaeus has heard, and that is what is drawing him to want to connect with Jesus. And so he knows that Jesus is coming along, he knows that Jesus is going to be in his town, and he can't see Jesus because he's short. He can't see over the crowd. And so he figures, and so there's in Zacchaeus this powerful desire to connect with Jesus, even though he has these obstacles, even though he has these difficulties. I want to suggest to you this morning that there are people all around us who are drawn to Jesus. They may not even know, if you ask them what they're looking for, they might not say, I'm looking for Jesus, but they are looking for something in life that they don't have. They're looking for hope. They're looking for help. They're looking for someone who is going to love them unconditionally. They're looking for someone who can make a difference in their lives. They're looking for someone who can change them. They're like Zacchaeus. They're looking. And we are surrounded by those people, and they live lives most of the time of quiet desperation. But they're looking, and they're seeking, and they're hoping that there's someone out there who will love them, who can offer them hope, who can change their lives. And so a lot of times people are motivated by that hope to do extraordinary things. And that's Zacchaeus in this story. He goes and he finds the sycamore tree. He says, okay, this is the path where Jesus is going to come. Jesus is going to be walking along here, and so I'm going to position myself so that I can see Jesus, so that I can get a glimpse of this man who I hear cares about people who are like me. And so he climbs up this tree. Now, this is an incredible thing, just to recognize that Zacchaeus was willing to do anything that he had to do to be able to connect with Jesus. Whatever it was going to take, Zacchaeus was going to do it, because the most important thing to Zacchaeus was connecting with Jesus. How important is it to you? How important is it to me to connect with Jesus? What are we willing to do so that we can live in fellowship with him, so that we can live in connection with him? Do we take that casually, or do we invest the kind of effort into it that Zacchaeus did, because he wanted to connect with Jesus, because he wanted to see him? What are we willing to do to be in a living relationship with Jesus? And I also want to suggest to you that there are things in our world that keep people from being able to see Jesus. There are things in our world that make it difficult for people to connect with him. It might be fear. It might be worry. It might be broken relationships. It might be substance abuse or poverty or sickness. There are all kinds of different things that make it difficult for people to connect with Jesus. When Zacchaeus needed to see Jesus, the sycamore tree was there for him to climb, for him to be able to get up in the branches so that he could see Jesus as Jesus approached, and he could make that connection with Jesus. I want to suggest to you that in our world, the church is like the sycamore tree. That the church exists to lift people up from where they are so that they can connect with Jesus, so that they can see him, so that they can be in a relationship with Him. And I want to remind you, I want to remind each of us that we are the church. You are the church. And so I want to ask you, what are you doing? How are you making yourself available to God for God to use you to lift people up so that they can see Jesus? How are you being useful to God so that people can see Jesus through your life, so that you can lift them up in God's power, so that they can connect with Jesus? So Zacchaeus climbs this tree, and Jesus comes along, and you kind of wonder what Zacchaeus' expectation was, what he thought was going to happen. Did he think that Jesus was just going to walk on by and he was going to get a glimpse of him and that was going to be it? He almost certainly didn't expect what happened, because Jesus got to where Zacchaeus was and he looked up in the tree and he saw him, and it seems from the text like he made eye contact with him and he said, "Zacchaeus," and he called him by name. He called him by name. And that's the way that God is. As you can think, God doesn't know anything about my life. God doesn't know anything about my circumstances. My life is hidden from God. God doesn't care about what's going on in my life. And then Jesus calls you by name. And it's as if God is saying, "Look, I know everything about what's going on in your life. I know everything about what's happening to you. And not only do I know what's happening to you, but I care. I love you. You are precious to me. You are valuable to me." And so Jesus looks up in the tree and calls out, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately, because I am going to stay at your house today." Now, most of us, when somebody invites themselves over to our house, that's kind of a cause for anxiety, right? We say, "Well, I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I don't have anything cooked. This is not going to end well. You know, I'm not prepared to show hospitality. Could we schedule this for a week from Thursday, and that'll give me time to prepare?" But that's not how Zacchaeus responds. Zacchaeus scrambles down from the tree, and he's all ready to go. He's excited for Jesus to come to his house, because this means that everything is about to change for Zacchaeus. Everything is about to be different for him, because Jesus is coming to be a guest in his house. The heart of this passage, the most important thing that's going on in here, is that we see a picture of Jesus as someone who ceaselessly, relentlessly searches out the lost until he finds them. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is not content for anybody to be broken and lost and forgotten and alone, but Jesus is always searching and seeking and finding people who are lost and drawing them to himself. That's who Jesus is. And so Zacchaeus is all excited. "Jesus is coming to my house." And he gets ready to, you know, he gets down out of the tree and he gets ready to receive him at his home. And he's all excited about this. And then people start to grumble. And they begin to mutter. And they said, "Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Jesus has gone with this Zacchaeus guy. He's not just a tax collector. He's a chief tax collector. Who does Jesus think he is? Who does Jesus think that this guy Zacchaeus is, that he would go over to his house, that he would eat with him? This is awful." I wonder if it ever happens with us that we see people being given a second or a third or a fourth chance by God, and it makes us grumble. It makes us mutter, because we say, "You know, here I am. I've been doing my best. I've been trying to live the kind of life that God wants. I've been trying to be the kind of person that God wants me to be. And here's this person, and they've just been doing whatever they want to do. They haven't been trying at all. They haven't been putting in any effort. And God is loving them, and God is giving them a second opportunity. And how come God is like that?" May God have mercy on us when we feel like that. May God change our hearts so that we rejoice when we see people being given that another chance by God, when we see people being transformed, like Shelby talked about, by the touch of the Master's hand. May God change our hearts so that that fills us with joy and gladness, because that's what this story is about. It's about joy. It's about the joy that Zacchaeus finds when Jesus sees him and calls out to him and says, I'm going to your house. And it's about the joy that's in God's heart whenever someone is rescued. Jesus says, this is why I came, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that was what was lost. And so there is deep joy in the heart of God when someone gets rescued, when someone gets saved, when someone gets reunited with God and reconciled to the Creator, reconciled to God through Jesus. There is deep joy in the heart of God. When Jesus comes to his house, it changes everything for Zacchaeus. He comes and he stands in front of Jesus, and he knows that the people are muttering. He can hear what they're saying. He knows his reputation in the community. He knows what people think of him. He knows how much they look down on him, not because he's short, but because he's dishonest, because he's a cheat, because he's made his living off of bleeding them, off of taking from them what didn't belong to him. And so he stands up in front of Jesus, and he stands up in front of all these people who are condemning him, and he says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. So half of everything that I have, I'm going to give it to the poor. I'm going to be involved in that kind of economic redistribution that's so important to the economy of God. We look in the Old Testament at the year of Jubilee that God didn't want people to live in poverty. God doesn't want people to be stuck in poverty that crushes their souls, that makes them feel futile about their work. And so God came up with a plan this year of Jubilee that you could sell what you had, but every once in a while the tables were going to be reversed and it was going to come back to you so that nobody was ever trapped economically. And so Zacchaeus says, okay, Lord, first of all, I'm going to start off, I'm going to give half of everything that I have to the poor. And then I'm going to, if I've cheated anybody, if I've stolen from anybody, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to pay them back four times what I owe them. Now, Zacchaeus' heart is good, but his math is really bad. Have you ever thought about that? That Zacchaeus goes in a moment from being very wealthy to being absolutely broke. Because he says, okay, I'm going to give away half of what I have. And then, by the way, everything that I have, I accumulated it dishonestly. I'm going to give back four times the amount. I don't know how you do that. My calculator doesn't work like that. But Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give back everything that I've stolen. What I've done wrong, I'm going to make good. That's the evidence of salvation. That's the demonstration that Jesus has transformed Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is willing to live differently because of this encounter with Jesus. What does it look like in your life? What is the evidence in your life that you've been transformed by Jesus? What is the evidence of salvation in your daily life? How do you live differently because of what Jesus has done for you? Because of how he has impacted you? And what does Jesus say? Does Jesus say, you got to learn to count, Zacchaeus? No, what does Jesus say? He says, salvation has come to this house because this one too is a son of Abraham, that the ancient promises that God made to bring people to God through Jesus, that these are being made good in Zacchaeus, that he is a recipient of God's grace. And then Jesus says this, he says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus is always persistently, ceaselessly, tirelessly reaching out to those who are lost, reaching out to you and to me. And it doesn't take much to be able to reach back. It doesn't take much. All you have to do is just turn to Jesus. Amen.